Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Luke and the Pete Show. It is a Monday. I do hope you are keeping well. I'm the Pete Donaldson from north of the wall. Do they call them groundlings or wildlings? Wildlings in Game of Thrones, isn't it? Yeah.
Wildlings, but I don't think you
wildlings.
Are really north of the wall.
I really love you. I want to know for sure. Did they ever do that? Did anyone ever do a parody of that? Sounds tedious, and that's exactly what Game of Thrones fans would be.
Would that have broken the fourth wall during the show if they just started doing that?
Wildlings, do I my heart sing. No, but done on a ukulele by a young hipster.
The ukulele's made of bone.
Yes.
And the guitar strings are made of
and
ligaments.
The bones of the skeleton's money. Up
money.
Here, bones equals money equals dollars.
Yeah.
Half as much food as this.
So I don't think you are a wildling. I think that you... So in Game of Thrones, I mean, you started this dancing, so you knew exactly what you're getting yourself for. I think, you know, north of the wall would have to be Scotland. I think you'd be one of those... You'd be a northerner,
right.
But you wouldn't be quite that far north. You wouldn't be a wildling.
I'd be the man on the wall. I'd be a part of the Night's Watch, wouldn't I? Just lads, hanging out with lads, talking about lasses that they've slept with.
Yeah,
pretty. It's not unlike the North, really.
You would be completely unsurprised to know that people listening to this show who have seen Game of Thrones, which I know you haven't, you do actually look like one of the characters at the wall, Dolores Ed. You look really like him, so it would work.
Is that the bloke with the big forehead and the long nose? Yeah,
yeah, he's a good lad.
He's a right giggle. Does he?
Not all bad. It could be worse for you.
I shan't get into whether he is deceased or he retains his head or whatever. Yeah. I can't really remember, to be honest. It's been a long time since Game of Thrones ended. And it ended with a bit of a fart by everyone's markings. A whimper, yeah. Nobody really liked that.
There's a lot of videos doing the rounds of the stars on the red carpet, obviously turning up at events and functions to promote the final season.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, not looking very enthusiastic.
Oh, I love it.
I spoke to someone when I was over in the US, when you and I were in the US late last year, and I met a friend of mine for lunch who's... I'm not going to say well-connected because that makes me sound like a twat, but like he's in that game. And I said to him, why was the final season so bad? And his exact words were, because they're both fucking hacks.
The two writers, yeah. Right, okay. Oh, yeah. Fair dues. Well, did they write the whole thing? I can't remember now.
I think the insinuation, Pete, was that they converted the books for television, and then when they ran out of books, they did know what to do.
I mean, didn't the writer, George R. Martin, say that you could... I think you could like hurt him if he doesn't finish it by 2020. Like you could hurt him, and obviously he didn't finish it by 2020. So I think you're illegal allowed to attack him with a crossbow or shears.
I don't think that's got any legal basis. I don't think it's a criminal defence to say in the court he said I could hurt him.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that the cannibals' defence? A man who wanted to be eaten in Germany about 10 years ago. This guy gave the bloke carte blanche to eat him, and the defense was the guy wanted to be eaten.
I'm gonna say chop off his penis, which I think
I'm fairly certain that that's good eating, isn't it? If you're into that kind of caper, That's a nice sausage, isn't it?
Is it?
If you're in a kinky
stuff,
if you're into kinky stuff and you want to eat something, you're not going to start with like the fingers, are you? Oh, actually, fingers are quite kinky, aren't they? Which I think what the least kinkiest part of your body art is probably your ears. No, they're quite kinky too. Feet,
fingers, all bone, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You're not getting much eating out of that. It's like a chicken claw. No. Not much fun.
I think generally, as far as I'm aware, which isn't very far, but in these kind of situations, survival situations, isn't the general consensus that it's a thigh or a forearm?
Yeah, they're the meatiest part, aren't they? Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Not in my case. I've got very spindly legs. Spindly legs.
There's a guy I know who is on Instagram, and I saw a picture of him over the weekend, and genuinely, like, the way the picture had been taken, it was taken from like a low angle. His legs look like some absolutely magnificent legs. I'm sure he's got fantastic legs, but I was just like, wow, you've got some big, lovely legs.
Name and shame.
I'm not naming and shaming people with big legs. They should be rewarded, if anything.
They should be equal.
They should be equal.
Pete, what have you been up to at the weekend? What's been going on?
Oh, I got a little bit drunk. Got a little bit drunk in a pub, which was fun. I was with a person, like some people I didn't really know, and this guy.
Were you invited?
Yes, I was invited. But this guy was like absolutely sinking pints, and I was like, I didn't realize I was in a drink off until quite late, and I was like, I'm not getting defeated. So I started piling back more Amstels than my body could carry. So Sunday was very interesting, just rolling around bed going, why have I done this to myself? But it's a rare treat, obviously, this year to be allowed in a pub, to be allowed to sink loads of Amstels and eat macaroni cheese with crab on it. So it was a lovely weekend, really. It was nice. It was a bit miserable weather-wise, so sort of stayed indoors. Watched a lot of... I've seen Dirty John has got a second season.
Yeah, someone was recommending that to me yesterday, but I haven't bothered with it yet.
It's very good. Christian Slater and, I can't remember her name now, but she's very good. Christian Slater and her, and it's quite good. And it's, you know, similar sort of story, a problematic kind of person pushed to the edge of their of sanity, effectively, thanks to a partner. But I just like the fact that they've gone with the title Dirty John. Dirty John : Betty. Rather than Dirty Bay.
Yeah. Just call it something else. I mean, yeah, that sounds really convoluted.
But it's a brand, though, isn't it? Dirty John was obviously very popular on Netflix, and this person, it's based on a true story, like the Dirty John documentary, docufiction, whatever you
call
it.
That Dirty John podcast series, the original one, was so good.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spoil it for people, and I'll try not to.
He's really dirty.
The ending was actually very satisfying.
Yeah, it's very rare that you get into a situation where you have a TV show that actually resolves itself quite well, especially when it's based on real life. Because I've watched a lot of like true crime docos and listened to a lot of true crime documentaries recently, and by gum, it's never satisfying. There's never any twists in the tale. They just have a finite amount of resources, and they just spread it out over 3 or 4 hours needlessly, absolutely needlessly, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I find some of the podcast series, they don't know where they're going with the story.
Yeah.
So it can turn out any kind of way. And if you think about the old gold standard, the old serial thing, doesn't really have a conclusion, which I can imagine some people find it quite unsatisfying. But Dirty John has a really, really satisfying conclusion, which is why it kind of sticks in my memory as one of the better ones I've listened to. So it kind of depends what you're after. But it's a magnificently put together piece of work anyway. It's just it had a nice conclusion. So I haven't bothered with the TV version of it, nor have I seen anything to do with the second season. So I wouldn't be able to comment on that.
Yeah, I think it's very good. I'm on the last episode and I'm very excited to finish it off. Although it is very depressing, just relentlessly inevitable and depressing, just the way that, you know, men and women conduct themselves later in life. It just kind of screeches to a...
Is that a dig at me?
I've just noticed you're wearing a lot of shorts, trying to impress you with your big legs.
My legs are tiny.
tiny little legs.
I'm wearing lots of shorts because it's been 35 degrees.
It has been.
I think that's reasonable.
Ridiculous. It has been ridiculous, to be fair.
I'm not like one of those dads who gets to a certain age and just wears shorts every day, no matter what the weather is.
I used to have one of my first girlfriends had slightly racist dad, and he was a mechanic, and he would just wear, and I'm not kidding you, jean short shorts every single fucking day. It is and was magnificent.
Everyone knows someone who wears shorts every day, no matter what the weather.
Yeah, that's
so
correct. Yeah,
it can't just, it's just a thing. But speaking of you getting drunk at the weekend, the reason I know you were drunk at the weekend is because on the Football Ramble WhatsApp group, I woke up to a load of messages between you and Vish, who were both obviously drunk separately, and the messages went on till like 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
they were absolute nonsense. Total nonsense. In the cold light of day, even you must realise they were nonsense.
I think people are, although, you know, people from the Foot Ramble kind of Marvel Universe kind of people who listen, sort of they draw assumptions of places that they shouldn't, really, because, you know, they think that me and Jim hate each other and stuff. And
oh yeah, I wonder why that is.
and I think there's a definite kind of bromance brewing between me and Vish, because I've noticed Vish got a bit like, we're quite similar in some ways. I sort of go, he's a not little naughty
both
boy.
Cricket experts.
We both love our cricket. Oh, the IPL. Is that a thing? EPA? IPA?
Yeah,
the IPA. I love the IPA, me. I love love the one day test cricket. The Super Sevens. Is that a thing?
Okay, stop now. Because you're gonna put off a lot of listeners.
But yeah, I
what
can
have you
tell
and Vish got in common then?
He's a naughty little boy. He's a naughty little boy.
I know, listen, I know you well, so I know why you think that you've got a lot of karma with Vish. Mm. I'm not sure if the universe agrees.
Right, okay. What do you mean?
So you look at Vish and you go, he's quite ripped, he's quite funny, he's got a lot of areas of expertise.
He says he isn't ripped.
He's quite cool.
Yeah, he's got a decent job. He's, for ridiculous reasons, anchored his boat to this shit show, and I'm obviously, everyone's very happy to have him. But he clearly makes bad decisions in his life. So here's another one.
Do you know when you did? Yeah, that's true. Do you know when you did the worst ever insult, the wounding of me more than anything else, where you looked at a really handsome Swedish guy we were in the same room as once and said, "That's what you think you look like."
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I think Vish is what you think you are like.
Yeah. Vish is very well, he can explain stuff, he's intelligent, he's funny, he's erudite, he's very kind of like witty, and very kind of like, he delivers his material in a relaxed fashion. But if I've got a joke, I scream it. I fucking scream it on the Ramble. I do look at Vish and go, Vish is the guy I want to be. There's a bit of a bronze there, because I think he's brilliant. There's that as well. How do we get onto this? Yeah, me and Vish were pissed on Saturday, entertaining the troops separately. He's made that very clear. Entertaining the troops on the WhatsApp group about the best Chinese restaurants in Soho. He sounds like he knows his stuff, so he's passed that test for me. And then we moved on to other kinds of subjects. He did a little Photoshop of Tom Cruise, which was fun. And we all had a bloody good time until I woke up the next day at 11:30 going, that was all right. that's not even in my top 100 bad WhatsApp exchanges on a public forum.
Oh, I didn't say it was bad. It was just, like I say, it was just nonsense. It was just, I've got to get through this to get a little red bubble that says 84 off my WhatsApp icon on my phone.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much in there for me, to be honest. But I do encourage the blossoming bromance between you both. I think it's very, very encouraging.
We shall defeat you.
Can I change the subject completely?
Yeah.
Or you almost certainly will. Let me change the subject completely, because, you know, a week ago, we talked about that the flight that my mate took, where he was an Australian pilot and it sounded really two-bit. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
Well, coincidentally, I found a story this weekend based in Australia. And it's actually a really interesting story, but the reason I'm bringing it to the table is because the quotes are just on that theme of just being really Australianly funny. Mm. So a guy off Port Macquarie on the east coast of Australia was able to jump off his surfboard onto the top of a great white shark that was attacking his wife.
Right.
Repeatedly punched it in the head and said, let go of his wife, and was able to save her life, right? It's an amazing story. I mean, imagine that.
It's a video crazy game.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so what happened was he got her to shore. She had really bad injuries to her right leg, but she's going to be, I think, based on what I've read, she's going to be absolutely fine. But she's had some serious injuries. But he's basically saved her life, right? And it's an incredible thing. And
he's going to win every argument. He's going to win every argument in the household from there on in. You didn't put the bins out. I fucking punched a fucking shark.
Yeah, she'll be like, I've lost my leg. You've got to do it. Anyway, but the reason I brought it to the table is because there's an organisation called Surf Life Saving New South Wales, which obviously are invited to comment on these kind of things. And the chief executive is a guy called Stephen Pierce. So you think, right, okay, so he's a chief executive of a big organisation, an important organisation that's being asked to speak to the BBC, right? His quote is as follows, okay? Right, this is his quote. And I'm going to do it in an Australian accent, and I make no apologies for that.
Do it.
The fella paddled over, jumped off his board onto the shark, and hit it. He then got her back to the beach. It was pretty full on. Really heroic.
Pretty full on. I'd love to see his definition of anything stronger than that. He literally punched a shark to stop him eating his wife. Amazing.
What was it like? What was it like, Chief Executive of the Life Saving? Pretty full on. It was pretty full on.
It certainly tipped the TPS needle. No way. Totally full on. Pretty full on. PFS.
Whatever.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Whatever.
Amazing.
And it just further adds weight to my theory, and it is a long held theory, that you never find someone who's just a little bit Australian. They're always 100% Australian.
Maybe, yeah, but like Australian stars always flop over Hollywood away with a fully formed American accent. I mean, as in they do really well, as in they flop like a beach.
But that's
shark.
Not what flop means, though, is it? That's not
no, I say they
means.
Flop
that's
over.
Opposite,
you didn't, no, I said I didn't say they flopped. I said they flopped over. Very, very different. Like they land with weight and sand displacement. They flop. Into Hollywood with a fully formed,
fully formed,
like a baby flopping onto a mat, and that's how I was delivered. Just with a perfect American accent. Speaking of planes, actually, as we I want to do occasionally on the show, check out Tech Morn's new episode that dropped over the weekend. He's done two episodes of from a Boeing 757 plane, which I believe was retired back in 2010. The playout system for the music when you go into the onto the plane, still on magnetic tape. I mean, obviously, if a system's still working, it doesn't need to be replaced. It doesn't need to go digital. But these kind of like tape playout systems will probably be still in use in a lot of places around the world. It's just kind of like, you know, if it's still working, why defeat it? Sometimes you're like sort of, if you ring like a telephone service, like a bank or something, you'll hear like, obviously, telephone music. It's usually on tape. Doesn't need to be on in any other way nowadays, even in 2020. But yeah, on a plane, it's this big module that he takes out with its own playout system, and it's got its own voltage that's like really weird. It's like 53 DC voltage or something. And these tapes just go round and round. And they're on multi-track, so these tapes can be selected to play out like warnings in like Japanese or Chinese or Greek or French. You know, we're about to land on water, and hearing them are just it's like hearing the Peter Donaldson the announcer, Radio 4 announcer, doing the end of the world speech. Just kind of like, we're about to we're going to be landing on water soon. When the pilot says brace, do the following and stuff. It's very calm, but there's a chilliness to it because obviously, you know, you're about to land on water, and almost nobody survives that.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it as well is that I mean, I just looked up the 757. It was started to be built in the late 70s, right? And apparently they're still in service. So I understand that you don't want to be like continually updating every single plane in your fleet because of technology, but it does make you feel a little bit queasy that you might be flying in a plane that's like, you know, 45 years old or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would like a plane to be regularly x-rayed. I don't think they probably do that, just to check for cracks. And also,
it's not ideal.
Yeah, but I mean, the engines won't be old, so you never know. It'll be,
well, do you reckon they replace the engines really every so often?
Well, I guess so. I mean, there must be a finite life. I know they remove them and mess about with them loads. The people who work on those Rolls-Royce engines that says that the worst noise in their life is the sound of like a nut being dropped into a turbine, because obviously it's such a complex engine.
Imagine, Pete, if you were waiting to go on the plane and there's a lot of kids around and the pilot came into the little waiting area by the gate and said, "Everyone, I'm the pilot. Get the kids over. If you've got kids, yeah, they're board first with your kids.
Yeah.
And the kids go over, and as they're walking in, he goes, "Who wants to throw a frozen chicken in the engine?" And he's got like a big box of frozen chicken.
Yeah.
Would that would probably be pretty cool, but you don't really want to see it being done before you take off.
It'd be worse if it was like organ transplants that they got. We spoke about this before, contraband. Who wants to throw 15 kilos of cocaine into the engine? Boom!
Also, imagine.
Also,
imagine
I've not been doing cocaine.
Imagine the frozen chicken one where the pilot has to explain the bird strike in the inquiry afterwards. And what, in your opinion, was the source of the bird strike, first officer?
Findus.
Probably Marks and Spencer's. Yeah. but imagine if someone accidentally dropped, because remember we had Pilot Neil on the show once, and he told us that one of our pilot listeners was transporting a load of cocaine from one country to another.
Yeah.
Imagine if they just dusted that into the air conditioning bit by accident.
Oh, can you imagine? Just everybody. It was, isn't that what they did in the Foo Fighters video, Learn to Fly?
Everyone just talking really loudly about their own career.
Love it. Don't have a go, mate. We're going to take a short ad break. We'll be back with some emails. What you have written. Thank you very much.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. Hope you enjoyed that little advertorial sojourn. I use the word sojourn way too much, Luke. I'm so sorry. I've let you down.
A little
again.
Departure from the old routine. A couple of ads chucked in there.
Yeah.
We know you probably find them annoying, but don't skip them because it keeps us with roofs over our heads. And that is important because if we haven't got a roof over our head, we can't make the show. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address to get in touch. Many of you have done so this week. I'm going to start with an email from a chap called Bryce.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he says, hi, Luke and Pete. Been listening to you all on the Ramble for years and have recently started listening to the Luke and Pete Show. I listened to the August 3rd episode where you talk about the movie Aliens. It was the same night my wife and I decided to watch it for the first time by complete coincidence. He said, I listened to the episode just after watching the film itself, and your talk of 80s version future technology was spot on. Case in point, when they enter the colonists' space station, Bill Paxton, who plays Hudson, the Marine in the movie, connects his personal computer to the door via some cables. You think they would have figured out wireless technology by this point, but it seems not. Keep up the good work, Bryce.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, we've been through this before. I've not watched a lot of science fiction movies. I've not watched a lot of that, but I kind of agree with him on that one.
Yeah, like wireless technology is something that wasn't really foreseen, presumably, at this point. But the other thing is that I wonder if that's a more production-type problem to be solved by the director and the producer, because if in the 80s, even if they knew about wireless technology, even if they got a consultant for the film and said, right, what's going to happen in like a thousand years' time?
Yeah.
And like these futurist guys who are out there, who do exist. I actually had a lecture once by a futurist at a job I had about the, yeah, he had a big white lab coat on there with writing all over it. No, but at a job I had, and it was talking about the future of entertainment and media and TV and stuff. Anyway. My point was just going to be, they probably could have had those consultants on that movie, but you've got to think about the practicalities of the audience watching. If Bill Paxton's character just pulls out a box, presses a button, the door's open, no one's going to know what's happened there.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to make that connection because they haven't got the technology education to know. So they, in some cases, they have to make things really deliberate so people who are watching the film know what's going on. Surely,
unless he's pointing it at the door like a zapper, like a remote control, I guess.
A zapper.
It's just what the people called them in the 70s. Little zap zap.
little zap zaps.
I completely agree. You have to have a little one foot in the present, otherwise it just looks a little bit too bizarre. And if no one's explaining anything, you've got to do if you do something that's completely revolutionary that it doesn't exist yet, you're gonna have to spend half the time giving the exposition for the piece of technology that you're using, which isn't, you know, I've got no doubt in my mind that every sci-fi show is, so I think it's just talking about like quantum computing and, you know, wireless. I mean, wireless power will be the next thing. I mean, I've seen this system. I was a couple of years ago now. Like, it sits in your ceiling, and you put your phone down on anywhere in the room, and it just fires power at it. And it does it by like running a camera on the actual room itself and figuring out where your phone is, and only firing the radiation towards the phone itself. It's got to have a little adapter and stuff on the phone, but yeah, it fires this kind of.
Can I just say, I'm not interested. Well, I'm not putting something in the ceiling of my house that's going to randomly fire radiation at stuff.
Yeah, but as soon as you get close to it, it turns off. So if you cover it with your hand or whatever, it stops. It stops firing out the radiation because it knows that it shouldn't be doing that. But there are plenty of horror stories from back in the day where chefs would be cooking their meals and be standing next to a misfiring
microwave
and having their insides cooked. The old apocryphal tales on that particular account. Got an email from Hassan. Hi, Luke and Pete, a long-time listener, first-time emailer. I feel I have something to contribute following in from your conversations about PE teachers and other jobs. In high school, our PE teacher, Mr. Matadar, was a Premier League referee. Well, a linesman. It was great because he was an Indian referee, and coming from a school that had a high proportion of South Asian students, it was a big deal. There was someone who we knew sharing the field with world-class players. He was a hero. Each week, we would eagerly anticipate which match he would be refereeing and watch the match of the day to get a glimpse of him. This is so wholesome, Hassan. Thank you very much. Until one game, Chelsea versus Liverpool back in 2004. The infamous stamp by Bosingwa on Ben Ayoun was missed by the linesman, our PE teacher. That then became the whole talk of the school and an excuse to make comments and laugh at our PE teacher. But looking back now, I really feel for him. Unfortunately, he was then demoted to the lower leagues and I think he retired pretty soon after. He was the centre of attention for the good and the bad, but wow, did he miss that? I have attached the clip if you don't remember, but we all remember that. Keep the good work, you're most defiantly, definitely... keeping me sane, Hassan. Mate, that was a wonderfully wholesome email and I just love that kind of thing. More of that, please.
Well, it ended in tragedy. So.
Did it? Oh, yeah, I guess so. But, you know, every person has to have an arc, I suppose, story-wise, aren't they?
Yeah, if it sounds a bit like a superhero or supervillain origin story.
Mm.
But, Pete, what I would say... is that, you know, to get to that level as an official in the world's most popular sport, you have to be pretty good. So he definitely deserves some credit.
Exactly. Completely agree. Mm.
Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. We've probably got time for just one more email. What about this one from Simon, who says, "Hi, Luke and Pete. Luke's story about how he didn't mute during a meeting, that is for people who haven't heard last week's shows.
Little
I
treat.
Talked about screaming about a delicious lickable treat in a meeting when I thought I was on mute. He said, Simon says it reminds him of something that happened to him a while ago. And he says, I can't believe I've never written to you about it before, as it seems like a rich vein. I work in London, but I live about an hour north and I often commute by car rather than the train. As we have a large US office, I often find myself doing voice meetings from my car on the commute home. One day I was on such a call trying to negotiate the North Circular during rush hour. I'd been trying to get into the left-hand lane to take my exit, but there was a van there for some reason who kept matching my speed, so I couldn't get over. As my exit was approaching, I was getting annoyed and I shouted out in my car, give me some fucking space to get over, you little fucker.
That is
a moment of silence followed before someone said, Simon, you're not on mute. This meeting was a daily sync up with representatives from about 20 groups and departments, and we were doing a large integration, which meant everyone went back to their groups and told the story. Luckily for me, everyone thought it was funny. Cheers, lads. Simon. It says at the end of his email, currently unemployed. It doesn't really.
Killed a man in a van. That's hilarious. Very enjoyable. Because like,
could it have been worse? It probably could have been worse.
Well, if it was like a non-integration situation, I don't know, man. I mean,
the words he used to me don't seem that bad.
No,
it's obvious what he was trying to do.
No, yeah. If he'd said anything, if he'd been relentlessly aggressive and used sexual or even worse language, I think. I mean, fuck is pretty.
What's
sexual,
worse than sexual language, Pete?
Top shelf badinage.
I think the worst scenario would be like something that made it clear that you were interested in like another job or that you hated your current job.
Yeah,
that'd be
yeah.
the worst thing.
Well, you find that a lot. I guess I can sort of tell sort of the story now. There used to be a shared drive on the Absolute Radio on the drives where all the presenters put all of their files and interviews and stuff. A lot of DJs not really thinking that anybody else can see their files, just put in, you know, demos for other radio stations.
Oh, really? Like,
and some
of
these people
used to go through them. I bet you used to go through them.
Of course I bloody did. I was having a lovely listen to people's six music demos. Outrageous behaviour. Love it. Very enjoyable.
Anyone successful?
No, not as yet. Still on the station. They've not been there for that long, bless them. They're already, seeking a way out. But look,
the stories you could tell, you could lift a lid, couldn't you?
I could blow London Radio wide open.
You could blow tales. One day part of specifically Absolute Radio wide open if you wanted to.
Enjoyable. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, we'll be back on Thursday for another episode of this. Get your emails in, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll join you again later in the week. Hope you have a lovely start to your week. We'll be here to punctuate the end of it. It's goodbye from Pete. It's goodbye from me as well. And we'll see you next time.
Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.